We've been hearing about their anticipated return for a while now, and we're getting closer and closer to the debut of Noisy Cicadas, which have been developing underground for 17 years. Yay! This is Lisa Berry, not a bug person, but we want to find out more about what to expect and what the impact of that will be, so we're joined by Tom Odell. He's a collections and natural area specialist at the University of Michigan Mathi Botanical Gardens and Nichols Arboretum. Thanks for talking to us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Now, technically, I believe they are known as Noisy Brood X periodical cicadas. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
And what can you tell us about them?
Well, they're a fascinating creature. People may be familiar with cicadas in general, when they are probably most familiar with the summertime cicadas, like July and August. That's a cicada that occurs every year. But these cicadas, called periodical cicadas, because they only do emerge periodically, and in this case, every 17 years.
So it's rare that they're appearing now. How do they compare to the summertime ones we usually see?
The summertime cicadas don't appear in such great numbers every year. That's why they're not overwhelming. But the periodical cicadas have developed some kind of a strategy where they stay hidden underground for 17 years and emerge in massive numbers. I mean, literally, probably millions throughout the entire range in which they emerge.
So you're walking down the street. How many can you expect to see in one spot at one time?
Well, that's just it. It depends on the landscape type. These are woodland insects, and they co-evolved with trees. So they will appear where there are sufficient trees. Most likely, you'll see larger emergence where there's woodland or in property that was formerly woodland. As long as there are tree roots for them to feed on in that area, that's where they may emerge. Not likely to see them downtown in any great number or in developed lots. If an individual has a homestead that was carved out of a woodland, they may very well see emergence in their yard. If their homeland was basically, if their lawn was converted from farm field, probably not going to see many, if any, emerging in your yard in that case.
And you see them at night or in the day or anytime, 24 hours?
You can see them 24 hours. They will emerge typically during the day, and they're active and are audible primarily during the day. They're not as audible in the evenings.
How loud do they get?
Well, if you have a sufficient number, where there's a massive number, for example, the last time there was an outbreak, there was an emergence at the Botanical Garden site itself, and there were literally thousands and thousands of these individuals at the epicenter of the emergence. I went to visit the site in person and was not able to hold the conversation at normal level with a coworker due to the background noise. It was that loud. And you could hear the actual group a half mile away.
Half mile away. So I understand you, Tom Odell, recall this from, this was 17 years ago in Ann Arbor, May of 2004. I must have blacked it out of my mind, or maybe I didn't encounter them, but this is something that you vividly recall 17 years ago.
Yes, and it was fascinating because it was so close to, at the Botanical Gardens, it was very close to our main building. It was far enough away that, well, you could hear it, it was far enough away that we didn't have much of an issue with the individual bugs in our garden spaces. They don't travel very far from where they emerge, and they don't go out and spread out like people imagine locusts doing. The breakout or the emergence will be, and their appearance will be very sporadic and localized.
And I understand they're not harmful to humans, correct?
Correct. These insects are not harmful to humans or pets, for they do not bite nor sting.
Well, what do they do to the trees? Is there any concerns along those lines?
Yes, I think a lot of people are a little concerned about damage to trees in their yard. Once the females begin laying eggs, most plants incur damage from the females depositing their eggs into the branches. The males and females as adults will feed on the plant juices, but with no significant damage. But the females do literally insert their eggs into the smaller tree branches, usually like a half inch or smaller. And if there's a sufficient number laid into an individual branch, you might see some browning of the leaves. Branches may actually sag and in some cases actually break off ultimately. But on mature trees, established trees, they'll recover just fine, and that's more a cosmetic issue. Trees that might be of concern in your own yard I would say would be fruit trees or young trees that are maybe 1 to 3 years of age. And if you're concerned about unacceptable level of damage to those trees, there are steps you can take to protect the trees from the cicadas.
How concerned should we be?
Once you start hearing cicadas in your neighborhood, if you do hear them, if you go out into your yard or an adjacent woodland and look at the ground level, you would see what are called emergent holes, little holes at ground level about the size of your thumb. And you will get a sense of how many holes there are. It will give you a sense of how many individuals may emerge. If you don't see them in the lawn readily, if you walk along, you might feel a little crunching underneath your feet. The emergent holes sometimes have a little mud chimney about an inch high formed around the top of the hole. And if you feel those crunching underfoot, you have a sense there are some emergent holes in your yard. And then you'll have a sense, is there much in that area? Now, until you physically see the emergent holes and get a sense of how many holes there are, how many there might be in a square foot or a square yard, it's hard to say how many will appear in your area and if the numbers are of any are enough to be of concern.
Is it something you want to spray for or prevent or just let nature take its course?
Well, largely let nature take its course. We don't want to use any herbicides, and that really wouldn't be, or pesticides, that wouldn't be of any real effect anyways, and it wouldn't be, you'd have unacceptable collateral damage to beneficial insects, and plus the exposure to, you want to avoid exposure to pesticides in general, and they are not going to cause a level of damage that would warrant applying insecticides. The easiest way to take care of the plants or protect the plants that you're concerned about is to use a very lightweight nylon mesh. And you just lay it over your plant and then secure it at the bottom at the trunk, around the trunk. And you want an open mesh as opposed to like a bed sheet or plastic tarp. You want to allow air and moisture and sunlight into the plant because you'll need to cover those plants once you begin to hear cicadas in your neighborhood and then leave them protected until cicadas subside, which would be about mid-June. So that plant's going to be covered for a while.
So I've shared my sentiment, not a bug person, yay. But here you are, you're a collections and natural area specialist at the University of Michigan. Is this a significant and exciting event for you, or how would you characterize it?
Well, it's very significant and exciting, and I think it should be exciting for everyone because it is a natural wonder that occurs literally only in the United States on planet Earth. It doesn't occur anywhere else around the globe. And again, it's only every 17 years. So you only have an opportunity to see this event, you know, maybe 4 or 5 times typically in a person's lifetime. And it's such a large, unusual wildlife event. We rarely see any form of wildlife in these numbers that I think is something people should develop an appreciation for and not be too anxious about what's going to happen in their neighborhood. Because like I said, there won't be any real significant damage.
Will you be doing research or experiments or counting?
Not any research. What I would encourage, though, what we do and what I personally do and some of my coworkers, we do play like citizen scientists and we help track where they occur. There's a group that's nationally trying to keep track of where these broods occur, when they do occur, and what the range is. And individuals who are interested in playing citizen scientists, there is a great app that they can download on their phone for free called Cicada Safari. And through that application, you can track where you have found them and to some degree the numbers and just give the help add to a national collection of data on where these insects do occur.
I love that. I've never heard that term before, citizen scientist.
It's a great way to participate and help professionals who track events like this. And it's commonly practiced amongst bird surveys in the spring. And in this case, this will be an insect survey.
So we'll see them in our area, right here in the Ann Arbor area, Washtenaw County, all across Michigan, or where else are they visible, or will they be experienced, the cicadas?
Historically, they have occurred in the southern, most counties, more towards the center of the state, close to the state Ohio, Michigan-Ohio state line. Since they did have a large emergence in Washtenaw County previously, I would imagine there'd be a similar emergence. And I know there was a concentration on the Mathai Botanical Gardens property. I don't know if there are other large emergence in the area, but I imagine they would reappear where they appeared before. Because like I said, when the eggs hatch, they drop to the ground, and they stay there until the next emergence. So they should probably, for the most part, reappear where they were previously.
Have you seen any so far?
I have found a few nymphs in the ground, only just a few.
When do you expect it to peak?
They typically peak about late May, early June.
And how long do they survive? And better yet, when's it
the
over?
The individuals only live 4 to 6 weeks.
We will keep our eyes and ears open for the 17-year debut of the cicadas. Tom O'Dell from the University of Michigan Mathi Botanical Garden and Nichols Arboretum. Thanks for talking to us.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.